And the interim head of NYCHA, the New York City Housing Authority, will be replaced by a federal monitor. That's part of a deal announced Thursday, reached by Mayor Bill de Blasio, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson, and the Justice Department. NYCHA, home to more than 400,000 public housing residents, has come under fire for covering up widespread lead contamination. Rodents, a lack of heat, and safety are among other tenant complaints. Under the new deal, de Blasio agreed to commit an additional $2.2 billion to NYCHA over the next decade, while the federal government's contribution will remain the same. He also plans to hand about a third of NYCHA apartments over to private management companies and allow for luxury high-rises on NYCHA land.
Oh, and that brings us to tonight's, to our next segment. We're joined here tonight on Indy Radio News with Shatia Strother. She is Executive Director of Families United for Racial and Economic Equality. That spells fury. There's certainly a lot to be furious about when it comes to racial and economic equality here in New York. And by Rico Cleffi. He's got a new article out. It's up on Independent. I'm getting a note here from Shatia. She's the coordinator, the program coordinator for Fury. And we're also here with Rico Cleffi. His article, Vultures Are Circling NYCHA, can be found in the latest print edition of The Independent and at independent.org. That's IndyPendent.org. And if you're just tuning in, again, you're listening to WBAI Evening News, brought to you by The Independent, New York's progressive newspaper. I'm Peter Rue, and I'm here with Lydia McMillan-Laird and, of course, Tia and Rico. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So NYCHA, of the New York City Public Housing Authority, needs about $30 million. Some estimates put it at $30 to $45 billion to get its facilities in working order. And Tia, you're in touch with these tenants and have been doing some organizing around with NYCHA tenants. So that $30 billion figure, that's a big number, but what does that really mean on the ground for these tenants? What are conditions like in NYCHA apartments?
Oh, man. So the public has been hearing a lot lately about the lead, the mold infestations. Oftentimes, residents in the wintertime are going without heat for days, hot water, or running water at all in some cases. And in the summertime, no cooling systems. On a constant basis, elevators are broken down in developments where there are homebound folks in wheelchairs, walkers, people who rely on the elevators to get in and out of the building for doctor's appointments and other various things that, you know, they have to manage in their daily lives. Roofs are a huge issue. You have leaks, which also exacerbate the mold issue. So on a daily basis, residents are living in substandard living conditions, conditions that we would often attribute to what we call third world countries. NYCHA is, you know, sorely neglected. We are excited that there's finally a more robust and extended and sustained public outcry and outrage, but that hasn't always been the case. So that figure that you just quoted, you know, it has ramifications on a daily basis and a constant basis.
So when did things start to go south for NYCHA? And this is a question for both of you. De Blasio has agreed to spend more for now to kind of put a Band-Aid on the problems at NYCHA, but the federal government has not. And in fact, they've been divesting from NYCHA for years. So what should people know about how we got here and what's at the root of this crisis? Tia, let's start with you. And then Rico, we'd love to hear from you about this one as well.
Yeah, so it's actually a combination and, a multi-layered effect that has happened. You're absolutely correct. The federal government has been divesting. In 2017, there was a slight bump increase in funding, but for the most part, over decades, there's been a steady and consistent, reliable decrease from federal funding, moving from Section 9 programming, which governs public housing, over to Section 8, which is vouchering system. On top of that, you have the city and state who, up until recently, has not been stepping in to fill that gap that the federal government has neglected. And then on top of that, as a third layer, you have NYCHA itself, which even with the funds that it did and does have been mismanaging them, have been wasting money with outside contractors. There's a myriad of issues that have gotten us to this point. And the thing that people forget is that most of these buildings, I think somewhere around 110,000 of them, were built between the 50s and 60s. So they're super old, need, you know, more maintenance than newer buildings, therefore more money. So I think that those combination of effects have gotten us to the point where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, I second everything Tia said. And Bill de Blasio is always saying, well, the problem goes back to the Reagan election. And a lot of that is true, right? I mean, Reagan cut affordable housing budget, the budget aggregate by about 80% in 6 years.
Yeah.
But it goes back even further than that. I mean, NYCHA started in 1934. It was considered like a model public housing program. It was this great New Deal public works program after that. And as things shifted and more Black and Latino families started moving in the 60s, white flight started happening. And that's when it really started, the perception among legislators started changing. And, you know, it ended with Nixon, or kind of culminated with Nixon declaring a moratorium on public housing altogether.
Yep.
So you can't build anymore unless it's senior housing, right, or veterans housing. So a lot of that's the context, but de Blasio tends to use that as an excuse, but it is true, right? And then later on, Governor Pataki cut off operating subsidies completely in 1998. Mike Bloomberg, when he was mayor, did the same thing.
Yep.
So for decades, NYPD was taking over $100 million a year and what they call pilots, right? Payments in lieu of taxes from NYCHA, which under Bloomberg was more than NYCHA was getting from the city. And it was for policing services that were already paid for our tax dollars anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like everyone, no one wants to pay for public housing. And yeah, it's incredible. You mentioned something, maybe we just touch on it real quick, about HUD. And the regional director of HUD is Eric Trump's former wedding planner, Rico.
Yeah, that was another one of those sort of slaps that Trump has kind of given everybody, you know, the great tradition of Betsy DeVos and then Ben Carson, just appointing people who really don't really seem to think a lot of the institutions that they're in charge of. But yeah, she's her name's Lynn Patton, and she's in charge of the HUD regional office, which encompasses the whole Northeast and especially, you know, New York, New Jersey, the biggest housing authorities. And she's kind of fond of going on these really, you know, acerbic tweet storms and retweeting like Pizzagate type conspiracies, build that wall, that sort of thing.
So Tia, back to you for a second. There was initially this threat hanging over New York that the federal government was going to take over NYCHA. Now, other big cities like Chicago and Philadelphia and some other cities have been taken over by the federal government. With all the funding shortages, what's the actual downside for this for tenants? And why were people in New York rallying against this federal takeover? What's actually the risk with that?
Yeah, so there's two things I want to, one I want to clarify and one I want to add. So the threat of receivership is still a thing. If you actually read the agreement that the mayor and Secretary Ben Carson came up with, if you look on page 17, it actually says that the secretary has the discretion to still enact receivership. Based on the report from the federal monitor as he starts generating them. And so in cases where the secretary makes this decision without the monitor's recommendation, the city may not be liable for the additional funds that they've been required in this agreement. But if the secretary makes that decision with the federal monitor's recommendation, the city will still be liable to provide the funding without actual control. So I just want to be clear that that threat is still looming. It has not gone away just because this agreement has been reached. It's still possible. The second thing I want to note, the most famous example of receivership is New Orleans after Katrina. So it went into receivership. HUD took it over. And not that long after, it was demolished in place of privatized housing. So the biggest concern when the news came down that we might be under receivership leadership, or there was a possibility of that decision happening, the biggest concern was, you know, the city's largest landlord, which accounts for housing, you know, upward to anywhere, depending on official numbers versus, you know, speculative numbers, 400 to 600,000 residents who rely on public housing. We're already in a housing crisis, and NYCHA is one of the last standing beacons of available affordable housing to the lowest income New Yorkers. So losing that is a huge issue. It wouldn't just affect NYCHA residents, but there would be a ripple effect for everyone. Where would all those people go? What kind of housing would they find? We're already in a crisis where housing can't be found as it is. So imagine that large influx of people looking for affordable housing options. So that was the biggest, most pressing concern when it came to receivership. Would we be subject to demolition or disposition and pushed into privatization?
Yeah, we're talking about who's running HUD right now. Ben Carson and Eric Trump's former wedding planner. Yeah. Pretty scary.
And as Rico mentioned, you know, they don't think that highly.
Yeah.
Not to mention them being ill-equipped based on their actual experience, like career experience. They have no idea what they're doing with housing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. You're listening to Indy Radio News on WBAI 99.5. And when we come back, we're going to go into a little bit more about de Blasio's plan, his NYCHA 2.0 plan. And even without HUD stepping in, it looks like we might be getting some privatization of NYCHA housing. So we'll talk about that after this quick break.